Okay. We're on page 161 at the bottom, 88 at the top and middle of the page. Okay. The last thing the Alter Rebbe was saying is that he asked the question, what is the purpose of a Beinoni coming down into the world if he fights, never wins? So he quotes the Zohar, that the Zohar says that on the pasuk that a chacham ain of bereishit, that a chacham's eyes are in his head. So the Zohar says, and the fool, where's everybody's eyes? Of course they're in the head. So he starts explaining, no. What it means is the eyes are in what's in the head. And he said the body is a wick, and there's a shechina, the fire, resting on top of the head. This shechina, the fire, needs fuel. And he's saying, don't lack it, don't be missing any fuel. What's the fuel to keep the neshama in the body? Okay, so he says Torah mitzvahs. Because Torah mitzvahs, the last thing we learned, that is what Hashem really wants. Remember we were explaining, Hashem wanted a world, but that's not the real thing he wanted. He wanted a revelation of godliness in the physical world. So in order to have a revelation of godliness in a physical world, he had to want to have a world, and then he can bring in that godliness. So there's the internal will and the external will. So he says not like this. When you say the Shechina rests, and let me divert for a minute. You know, this the Beis Hamikdash season. When Shlomo HaMelech finished building the Beis Hamikdash, there's a pasuk in Malachim. Shlomo HaMelech said to God, "I really don't get it." He said, "Halei Hashemayim u'shmei Hashemayim lo yochal kolucha." The heaven and the universe is not big enough for you. V'afki abayis hazeh, and this home is going to be, this building is going to be your home. Mm-hmm. Or God says in the Chumash, "V'asi l'migdash, make for me a migdash mishkan, whatever. V'shachanti b'seichem, I'm going to dwell in their midst." So if you ask somebody, where's God's home? In the Beis Hamikdash. Even today, by the grace of Maravi, the Shechina didn't leave the place of the Beis Hamikdash. So the question is, if God is all over, where's God? Everywhere. Right? Like they tell a story, a guy once came to a little kid, he wanted to get at Ebbis. When he grew up, he was a little kid, he flipped him a coin and said, "Tell me where God is." And he flipped it back and said, "I'll give you two if you tell me where he isn't." Okay? God's all over. What does it mean when you say this is God's home? If God is all over, then all over is his home. What is unique about the Beis Hamikdash, or a shul, or any holy place, that you say this is God's home? What makes it different than everything else? So the answer is very simple. The uniqueness of the Beis Hamikdash was that God revealed himself there. It wasn't God was there. God's all over the world. The question is, where does God reveal himself? In Pirkei Avos, it says, in the temple, there were 10 constant miracles. When you see a miracle, that people saw. That's a revelation of godliness. When you see a miracle, you say, oh, that's godly. When you look at nature, you look at the world at large. So the definition of the Shechina resting, that they said the Shechina is resting on your head, that refers to the revelation of the Shechina. And that's what the Alter Rebbe is saying here now. Inyan hashra'as ha-Shechina, this dwelling of the Shechina, means gilui alukusi yizbarech, the revelation of godliness, the earnings of Baruch Hu, and the revelation of God, be'ezah davar, a certain thing. When you say this sefer is holy, what's the definition of holiness? Separate. Where God rests. Yeah, why is it separate? Holiness means separated, right. But what it means is, if this sefer falls on the floor, you have to pick it up, you have to kiss it, you can't take it into the bathroom, you can't take it into not proper places, right? Because it's holy. But take a novel, a magazine, it's also God in the magazine. So why can't you take that in, what's wrong with that on the floor or in the bathroom or whatever? The answer is, this book, because it's doing what God wanted it to do, meaning Torah is written on it, so therefore it's God revealing himself in the book. And because God's revealing himself in the book, that's the definition of holiness. When you say something is holy, What's the difference between holy and non-holy in a practical sense? The answer, holiness means not where God is present. God is present even in garbage. God's all over. There isn't a place that he doesn't exist. What does holiness mean? Where God reveals himself. You can sense the godliness of it. And he says, V'hainu leimer, meaning, what does it mean, holy? Sha'aisi dover, that object, nichlo be'er Hashem, is included with God, okay? And ubatalei b'mitzias, and it's nullified in its entity, legamri completely, is completely nullified and subjugated to Hashem. And he says, because then, who shesheira umizgalabe, then you can have the resting and the manifestation of Hashem Echad. Okay? Avol kol mashalei batol elav b'metzias legamri, but something which is not completely subjugated to God, something which is not completely batol and nullified to Hashem, he says, ein erd Hashem sheira umizgalabe, God cannot reveal himself there. The Gemara says, it's a very simple thing. I think we mentioned this concept last week. The Gemara has an expression, an empty vessel, you could put something into. A full vessel, you can't put anything into. Which means, in a spiritual sense, a person who is full of themselves, because they're so full of themselves, there's no room for God. Something which is empty, meaning there is no me, I, self in it, no selfies. So then, God can rest there. Because what separates, and this is fundamental concepts in Chassidus that we need to understand. This is 101, or maybe 100. The definition of godliness resting is on something that does what God wants it to do. That's where God can rest. Because if that object is doing what Hashem wants, that means it's bottled to Hashem. It doesn't feel itself as an entity. I do what I want, because then there's no room for Hashem. But if a person is bottled, meaning they're doing what Hashem wants them to do, so they're nullified to Hashem, they're non-existent in their own self-entity, so then Hashem rests there. So when a person does a mitzvah, that is godliness resting on their head. Because now their body became subjugated, nullified, and part of Hashem, because they did what God wants. Not what I wanted, I did what Hashem wants. So that's when God reveals himself on me, and therefore that's the definition of holiness, is not where God exists, because God exists all over the place. Holiness means a place where God reveals himself, that you can sense the godliness. Now this problem is, you know, sometimes you could turn on a light, or as they say in yeshiva, open the light. But you know, if you close your eyes, you can tell there's a light there, but you really don't see it. In other words, in Yiddishkeit, sometimes the question is, we do mitzvahs, but we don't feel this godliness. We don't feel this holiness. So the answer is, it doesn't mean you didn't bring down the light. You brought down the revelation of godliness. It's just that because of the generation, because of our low levels, we don't see it. When Mashiach comes, we're going to see all the lights. Our eyes are going to be open. We're going to see all the lights and kedusha and holiness that we brought down during the time we did mitzvahs. But this is a very important concept to understand. When you say something is holy, it means something which is in sub-bottle, subjugated, nullified to Hashem, and therefore Hashem reveals, not exists. Hashem exists all over. He reveals himself in a way that you can sense godliness. We don't feel it. That's because our eyes are closed. But that doesn't mean we didn't bring down the light. We lit up the room. We said, my eyes are closed. So he says like this. And he says, that's why you need mitzvahs. Why do you need mitzvahs? He says, what's wrong with being a tzaddik? If a guy is a tzaddik, why can't he have that level of kedusha, and why does he need mitzvahs? So he says, av tzaddik gomur, even a complete tzaddik, shem is dabik bei ba'ava rabba, that clings to God with a tremendously strong love, a very powerful love. The truth is, no mind can grasp God. Because the reality is that the truth of Hashem being the true God, who Yechudei V'Achdusei, is the unity and oneness of Hashem, Shulevadehu, that He is the only existence, Ve'efes Belodei Mamish, and nothing exists. Sounds like, let me explain this outside. If I love God, yeah, I'm still not bottled to God, 100%. Why not? Because there's a me that loves. There's a me that loves. So even a tzaddik who has no yetzer hara and he's a very holy, great person, nevertheless, he's still an entity that loves. He's not completely bottled. When you do a mitzvah, then you're doing completely nullified to God. You're doing what Hashem wants us to do. And that's why even a tzaddik needs mitzvahs. Now, we have many times we discuss, you have Jews that are called cardiac Jews. You know, a Jew in heart. You come to them, put on tefillin like, yeah, no, I'm a Jew in the heart. Yeah? First of all, it's too much pressure on the heart. It's not too healthy. But what's wrong with a cardiac Jew? Not only that, I want to see somebody tell a spouse or a kid, I love you with all my heart, but I ain't doing anything for you. But I really love you, all my heart, but I'm not going to be nice to you. Huh? It doesn't mean anything. Because if it doesn't come into action, so, but why? But I love you with all my heart. Because the action has to be, the love has to be manifested through an action. Because when I do something for you, that's when I give a part of myself over to you. If I just love you, that's me. I happen to have a feeling called love. That's not bitter to you. Think about it. If I love somebody, yeah, that actual attribute of love, I'm not bottled to them. It's me, my ego. I have a feeling. I feel good. I love. But in order for that love to come out in a way of oneness with that person, you need to do an action. And when is the love showed more? When you do an action that you don't like doing. Because then you're showing, you know, I'll give you an example. If somebody likes to cook, yeah, and they cook for their family, that's not Mesiras Nefesh. They enjoy cooking, right? But if you would hate cooking and you would cook, that shows that you're really doing it for them. And that's why he says, it's not enough just to have a tzaddik who loves Hashem with this tremendous level of love, because he's still, like he's going to say the expression, Yesh mi shayev, he's somebody who loves. In order to create the vessel for God to exist, which is meaning the vessel which is nothingness to become nothing, is only when you do mitzvahs. And doing mitzvahs creates the vessel for godliness to rest. And that's why Shlomo HaMelech is saying, Shemen al reish chal yachs, don't be missing any oil from your head. You want God, the Shekhinah, to rest on you. You want God to reveal himself on you. You need to have a vessel. So you have a wick. The body looks like a wick. It is a wick. But you need the fuel. And the inborn fuel that we just said, because I have a neshama, is not enough to be bottled to Hashem, to make a vessel for God, because my neshama is what I am. And that's why he says you need the action of mitzvahs. And that's why it's so important when a person, you meet a person, you tell them, do one mitzvah. You know, and they do one mitzvah, they're already hooked. Because the mitzvah connected them to Hashem. So now they are a vessel for godliness. So now you can make the vessel bigger and stronger and greater and so on. But if you don't do a mitzvah, there's no attachment. See, yeah, cardiac Jew, feel Jewish in your heart, you know. Be proud of being a Jew. If the proud of being a Jew doesn't manifest itself into action, then there's no vessel for it. And therefore he says, not enough just to be a tzaddik. Because tzaddik, even if he loves God in the highest form of love, is like he says, Vimkein, Zaha Ayev, this person who loves God, Shuyesh Veloy Ephes, which is something, because I love. And it's not nothing, less Machshava Tfisa Beklal, no mind, his mind cannot grasp God. Vein Erd Hashem, Sheirum is Galubay, and the only way the revelation of godliness can rest and reveal itself on the person, is only ayde kiyum mitzvahs, by doing mitzvahs, shein ritzenei v'chochmasa yizbarach mamach, which is the open will and the open wisdom of Hashem, belishum hestipon, without any concealment. Because all you're doing when you do a mitzvah is what Hashem wants, not what I want. And therefore, like we said many times, when the guy came to the Tzemach Tzedek, he said, Rebbe, I have a big problem. I don't like to learn. I don't want to learn. And Tzemach Tzedek said to him, boy chick, I got a bigger problem than you. I do want to learn. What did Tzemach Tzedek tell him? He says, because I love learning, I'm not so bottled to Hashem like you could be by not liking to learn and breaking yourself and learn. Therefore, there's a very interesting halacha. It's very interesting the way Torah works. And it's very different than the secular approach. If two people need help, the Gemara's example is unloading an animal. Okay, the Torah says you have to help them load or unload an animal. What happens? Two people need help. Well, every day, okay, occurrence. Two people need help. One's a friend, one's an enemy. Ask a secular person, who would you help? Of course my friend. He's my friend, of course I should help him. According to Torah, Torah says it's a mitzvah to go to the enemy first. You know why? Because you don't want to. Mm-hmm. But you could say, but I'm helping. I'm doing a mitzvah of helping. So why shouldn't I do it to my friend or my relative? Why, you know, come on. I'm doing the same mitzvah. I'm helping. The answer is, here you're doing what you might like, and here you're doing what God wants. And it's a fundamental difference. You're doing it because God wants, so then you're a vessel, because you're subjugating yourself, you're nullifying yourself, you're submitting yourself to do what Hashem wants, so then you're a vessel for godliness. And that's why mitzvahs are important. It's not enough to be an intellectual Jew, it's not enough to be a cardiac Jew, you need to have an action Jew. Because the action creates the vessel by being nullified and subjugated to Hashem.
So can I just ask one?
Yeah.
So when you know you don't want to do something, is the time that you should do it? Is mm-hmm.
Yeah.
God, that's hard.
That's tough, huh?
It's hard.
Yeah, it's tough being a Jew. You know, there's a very fundamental aspect in connection to what you just asked. Mm-hmm. The Gemara says, an expression, Avuch my havazar tfei. Which mitzvah was your father most meticulous about? Which mitzvah was your father's pet mitzvah? Okay? But if you notice, he didn't say which mitzvah was your most observant about. Zohar means to shine. He asked them, which mitzvah did your father shine with? What does that mean? As Jews, we have to keep all 613. I mean, today there's no 613, but 200-something. But we have to keep all 613 mitzvahs. But every Jew individually has a key mitzvah that is the key to all mitzvahs. Okay, and that's what he asked. What mitzvah did your father shine with? Every Jew has their mitzvah, I don't call it pet mitzvah, whatever, which is the key to all mitzvahs. So it says in Chassidus, how do you know which is your key, most important mitzvah? The one that you have the most difficulty doing. Think about it. If you have one mitzvah that's the key to all mitzvahs, it's not the mitzvah you enjoy the most, because then again, it's you. Right? If you do a mitzvah because God wants you to do, then you're doing it even if you don't like it. And the more you don't like it, or the more you hate doing it, That is the key mitzvah, because that's completely giving yourself over to what God wants. And like we said many times, you have, in America, they're called traditional Jews. You know what traditional Jews are? In Israel, they're called Mesorati. Traditional Jews mean what? Yeah. Jews that pick and choose. Remember the story, pick and save? Yeah. Pick and choose. Pick and choose means a mitzvah I like, I do. Mitzvah I don't like, I don't do. That's the definition of a traditional Jew. Okay? Hanukkah is very nice. You know, it's you like the menorah, you get presents. It's Pesach, it's a family get-together. It's nice. You know, you have to say it. Shabbos is not. Nah, it's too difficult. I mean, there are people that's called traditional Jews. Yeah. The truth of the matter is, again, a Jew has to, one mitzvah a Jew does, no matter what it is great and phenomenal and unbelievable. But if you think about it from a true perspective, that traditional Jewish observance has nothing to do with God and has nothing to do with Torah mitzvahs. Because what it really is like this, a traditional Jew means, you know, God came up with some nice ideas, you know, Sabbath meal. You know, it's nice. He created the world. It's nice. And it's a good time for the family once a week, you know, for the family to get together. Even though today, everybody's on their phones anyway at the Sabbath meal. I mean, in non-religious circles. So anyway, what type of Shabbos meal is that? But, so they say, you know, God came up with a good idea. I like that idea. And I'm going to keep it. Okay? There's nothing to do with God. Maybe God came up with a nice idea. But I'm not doing it because God told me to do it. I'm doing it because I enjoy doing it. What's the proof of it? Because if it's another mitzvah God told me to do that I don't like, I'm not going to keep it. Now, if I'm keeping Hanukkah, okay, because God told me to keep it, then why am I not keeping Shabbos, Kosher, Mikvah, all the other mitzvahs? So this that I'm keeping Hanukkah is not because God told me to do it. God came up with a brainstorm, a brilliant idea, and I'm doing it because I like it. If you think about it, what does it have to do with Yiddishkeit? It happened to be Jewish traditions that the person likes. You know, eating matzah balls on Pesach, or whatever it is, you know? If a Jew is doing mitzvahs because God said so, and we all have this problem, by the way. You know, all of us, certain mitzvahs we like, we do better. Certain mitzvahs we don't like, you know, one could we get rid of this already? Let's get rid of it. Let's get over with. Yep. The truth of the matter is, if a Jew serves God because Hashem is telling us to do mitzvahs, and that's why I do it, there's no difference between mitzvah 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, or 6, 13. Because we're doing it because God said so. That's what he's talking about over here. That renders the kedusha, the subservience, the bittul, the nullification, the subjugation. That is what causes us to be connected to God. But if I'm doing a mitzvah because I like it, that's me. It's not God. I'm not giving myself up to Hashem. And therefore, what's the pet key mitzvah to all mitzvahs? If you think about it, the mitzvah that I don't use the word hate doing, the mitzvah that I find most difficult to do. And that's the mitzvah. Why? And it's very simple logic. Why did God make it so difficult for me? Because that's the most important for me. Because the reward is greater. In other words, for some people, Shabbos is difficult. For some people, kosher is difficult, yeah? Why did God make, let's say for me, kosher is difficult, for you, Shabbos is difficult? It's because for me, kosher is the key to all other mitzvahs that I have to keep. I have to keep all of them. It's the key. Because I'm subserviating myself, I'm subjugating myself to Hashem, that's the key to open up all mitzvahs. For you, it's not kashrus, it's Shabbos, or mikvah, or lashon hara, or whatever, you know, any of the mitzvahs. But that's the difference. So the Alter Rebbe is saying over here, that action of mitzvahs is the real will of Hashem, that's what needs to be done, and that's what reveals godliness. But a person themselves, just because they have a neshama, he could be a tzaddik, but it's still them loving God. It's not bittul. They're not nullified. Okay, so he says now, five lines to the end of the page. When a person learns Torah, okay, you're talking about a practical observance of a mitzvah. As a nishmasei, then is neshama, which is the nafshi l'kisses godly soul, imshnei levusha pnimim, together with the two innermost garments, meaning shem keach adiba v'machshava, because learning usually do with your mind and your speech. You know, when you learn, you say the words. Then nichleles be'er Hashem ein tzav baruch hu, then it becomes absorbed in godliness, umiyuchadus bayin, is united with it, beyichud gomer, with a complete unity. Meaning like this: when I learn, so what am I using for my body? My godly soul, obviously. I'm using my thought and speech. So then my thought and speech are one with Hashem. And he's going to explain though, but to get the action of your soul connected to God, that's when you need action mitzvahs. Mitzvahs you do with your hand and your foot and your stomach and your mouth. That is what gets the action of your soul connected to Hashem. But if you didn't learn, then you're not connecting. V'yashras ha-shchina al nefesh olakis. This is the definition of the divine presence resting on the person. K'maymet azali, the Gemara says in Pirkei Avos, afilu echot sheyeshev ha-esig ba-teira, even one person who learns Teira, shchina imir, the divine presence is with him. Why? Because he's doing an action which is subjugating his mind and speech by learning Torah Hashem. Ach gdei lahamshich erd v'ha'odis ha'shchina gam al gufei v'nefesh habamis. But how do you bring godliness into the physical part of me, my animal soul, my physical existence? Shiach ha'yunis, which is the soul of life, hamlubeshes b'gufei mamish, which is in the body itself. Tzarech lekayim mitzvahs maisius, then you need to do physical mitzvahs. Hanasis aidei guf mamish, which is done through the body. It's not enough the brain and mouth anymore. Then you need, like he's going to say, tzedakah, or, you know, any mitzvah, that eating matzah, any mitzvah that you can do with your physical body. Sha'oz then, koyach haguf mamish, the power of the guf, of the body, which is in the action level of the body, nechleles be'er Hashem, is one with Hashem, uritzeinei and the will, and he's united with him in the ultimate unity. Because when you learn Torah and you do mitzvahs, then your thought, speech, and action are all connected to God. You're all bound, bottles, like you said, subjugated, nullified, whatever. So in other words, Al Trebbe is going to explain like this. Remember, Al Trebbe asked the question, why in the world does a Beinoni come down if he fights, and doesn't get anywhere? Al Trebbe is going to answer very simple. Who says the mitzvahs to fight, to win? Who says the mitzvahs to win? The mitzvahs to do action. That's your purpose. You mentioned in the past, it's a very interesting philosophical question. A soldier was told by the general in battle to do something. The soldier disobeyed. And because he didn't listen, they won the war. If he would have listened, he would have lost the war. Because the soldier did not listen to the general, they won the war. Got it? So now the shaila is, the halachic question is, what do you do to the soldier? Do you reward him, or do you court-martial him? The real answer in army law is you court-martial him. Why? Because the job of a soldier is not to win the war. The job of a soldier is to obey the commander. Understand? The job of a general is to win the war. The job of a soldier, of a foot soldier, is to obey commands. And he didn't. It doesn't matter what the outcome is. We are God's chayalim. Chayal, right? We are God's soldiers. Our commandment, like the Rebbe always said, the order of the day, when he spoke to Tzivus Hashem, the order of the day, The order of the day, meaning what we're ordered to do, is to do mitzvahs. With thought, speech, and action. When you do mitzvahs of thought and speech, you're elevating the thought and speech, becoming one with Hashem. But in order for your physical lower parts of the body, so to speak, the physical body itself, to be connected to Hashem, you need physical mitzvahs. And the mitzvah is not to win the war. The mitzvah is not for a Beinoni to become a tzaddik. A Beinoni can't become a tzaddik. He doesn't have to become a tzaddik. The role of a Beinoni, based on what Alter Rebbe is explaining, going to continue explaining, is to do mitzvahs. That's it. And he gives a mashal later, which is very beautiful, and he says, there's two types of delicacies. There's sweet and sour. You know, some people like, sometimes you have sweet and sour because they don't know what they like. You have sweet and sour. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Both are delicacies. Mm-hmm. Which one's better? Mm-hmm. So logically, the sweet one is. Mm-hmm. Sweet. But nevertheless, it says, the Alter Rebbe is going to say later in Tanya, God forbid, if somebody faints, you don't give them sugar to smell. Mm-hmm. You give them something sharp to smell. Because sharpness revives the soul, not sweetness. The tzaddik is like the sweet pleasure. Goody, goody, you know, good guy, good woman, whatever, tzaddik. The beinoni is the battle. That's the bitter delicacy, right? But dafka, that delicacy, has an advantage over the sweet ones of the tzaddik. And he says, you know why the beinoni came into the world? He's not supposed to win the war. He's not supposed to win the killing the Yetzirah. The role of a Beinoni is to bring Kedusha into the world that you do by doing mitzvahs, and that's the role of the Beinoni. To do mitzvahs, thought, speech, and action. That's it. And then he wins. I mean, he wins in the purpose of his creation. He doesn't win but for him, that's the battle. For the soldier, the battle winning is listening to orders. When the soldier listens to orders, he won the battle. But the Alter Rebbe is saying this to every single Jew, by the way. In order to become one with Hashem, we have to give up what we want to do and do it for Hashem. So somebody could think, we have two minutes left. Somebody could think, why should I give it up? Why should I give up what I enjoy for something that because the truth of the matter is, look at the advantage of one over the next. When you have enjoyment of physical pleasure, yeah, it's temporary, it's gone, it's finished. The pleasure of a mitzvah that you connect yourself to Hashem is eternal, permanent, and instead of being creation, when you connect to God, you become creator. So, when you do a mitzvah, every time a Jew does a mitzvah, by the way, they become what's called in the Gemara a partner with God in creation, which means an equal. Every time we do a mitzvah, we become godly, creator. Because, again, just to finish up like this, remember the purpose of creation was to have a dwelling place down here? Okay. So why are we God's partner? It's very simple. He created the world. Who brings the godliness into the world? We do. Right? Mm-hmm. So when we do that, we finish the purpose of why Hashem created the world. So God did half the work creating it and creating us with the neshama and everything and the ability. So when we do a mitzvah, we bring Kedusha into the world. So we're actually finishing the purpose of creation. So we become a creator. Now, if you can ask a question, what's better? A 5-minute enjoyment, a 10-minute enjoyment, or eternal connection to God who's infinite? There's no comparison. Okay.